Good morning, ladies. We're gonna get going. Look at us. Okay, just starting a little later than I thought, but 5 minutes, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
For our church, that's actually really excellent, right? Loved being together last week. Super grateful for our time, super grateful for you guys and your sharing. And I want to tell you, since I'm doing this, normally I just teach once when I teach for a bite, but it's interesting, I already taught this last night, and afterwards I was like, oh, I have to make several adjustments. So you're getting week two, 2.0. So that's exciting, right? So all that to say, if you weren't able to be with us last week, we're super glad that you're here with us this week. It is a drop-in, so that's the beauty of it. You can come when you're able. We do actually now have last week up online, so if you do want to get caught up, that's available too as well. But I'm just going to open us in a word of prayer, and we'll get going this morning. All right, let me pray. Father, I just feel super aware of the weather today, just the beauty that we're in, what we're surrounded by, this gorgeous day that we get to be outside together. Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you that you've given us the gift to gather today. And Lord, as we're trying to understand your heart when it comes to prayer, I pray that you would speak to us. I ask that you would help us in those places where we're feeling tension in our own minds and souls, that you would speak to us today. And Lord, in those places where we continue to have questions, I ask that you would just show yourself to be good, that you would show yourself to be loving, and that you see us and you care for us. Lord, we just ask you to be present with us, even now. And we pray this in your name. Amen. All righty. Well, I want to tell you guys a few reminders from last week as to what we're doing here, and that's partly because it's a drop-in. I have to, share what others might have missed last week. So I want to remind you that we're just scratching the surface when it comes to this topic. Right? That we can, I mean, this could be a year-long study on unanswered prayer and God's intent and all of that. So it's hard to teach and know that we're missing 5,000 other things as we're talking about it, but let's just trust that in the few things that we're going to talk about in these 3 weeks that God can speak to us about unanswered prayer. And I don't have all the answers, and I said this last week, I just come to you as somebody who has wrestled and struggled deeply with unanswered prayer in my own life, and that is why I am teaching out of that. It's out of my own wrestling and my own struggle, and God has impressed things upon my heart. But part of my process with us is I want us to have a space to struggle and wrestle through it, and not necessarily just be told an answer, but to actually kind of seek God in the midst of those struggles and to find him there. And so I'm guessing with all of us, we're coming with emotional challenges when it comes to unanswered prayer. We're heartbroken. We're hurting. It's deeply personal when we deal with unanswered prayer. It's often things that other people around us wouldn't be experiencing, the same pains. It's deeply personal for us. And then there's intellectual struggles where we don't understand what God is doing. And then we also have these cultural struggles that I was describing. Last night they were asking me, what do you mean by cultural struggles? So it could look a number of different ways, but I'm going to say we have Christian cultural struggles where we're actually just tending to gloss over it and not deal with it, and it's messy and it's not wrapped in a tight little bow, and so in Christian culture we may not be dealing with it well. Then you could just say in general the culture that we're in doesn't deal well with unanswered prayer. So there's all sorts of ways you could interpret culturally. When I say culturally, I tend to mean that we as Christians need to be dealing with these intellectual and emotional challenges. Does that make sense? Alrighty. And then this is key. When we talk about unanswered prayer, I'm not saying that God doesn't answer prayer. I believe that every prayer is answered. That there are prayers that he says yes to, there are prayers that he says no to, and there's prayers that we're just waiting on. He's saying wait. And sometimes we don't know in the wait whether we're going to get a yes or a no, and the wait is the hardest, to tell you the truth. That can sometimes be the most painful. But when I say unanswered prayer, I'm meaning that the prayer isn't answered in the way that we asked. Okay? So that's really important. I'm not saying that prayers aren't answered. I'm saying that they're not answered in the way that we ask. So it's unanswered in the way that we're asking him to. We'll say that. Not answered. I don't know. So all that to say, that's the term we're using. And I said this last week, that there are a few things that Scripture talks about that we need to kind of check our heart over when we're coming to God in prayer and asking ourselves certain things. And I didn't have a slide last week, but I'm going to show you a slide of those things that we just probably, when we come to God in prayer, need to think about these things. Do I have an unrepentant, heart? Do I have an unrepentant heart? Am I cherishing sin? What are my motives in coming to God? Am I moving toward God or away from Him in my doubts and struggles? Do I have unforgiveness in my heart toward anyone? And have I missed God's heart for the broken, oppressed, and needy? And I have passages there that show that this is where God, there's a tension in our prayers when these things are in play. Does that make sense? That's not what we're getting into today, but I feel like that's important just to note. So Jeremiah 29:12, which is our theme verse, says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." That's the promise. And I want to remind you that our whole intent as we engage this idea of unanswered prayer is that we actually want it to move us toward praying more, not less. That it moves us toward God and wanting Him more. So in these 3 weeks, we've talked about, last week was about intimacy with God. And if you missed, we talked about the privilege of prayer, how it's relational and not transactional. It's not like we're just punching an ATM machine to get out what we want, that we're actually engaging a God who loves us, who is a father, who has that kind of relationship with us, and that it's about intimacy with Him. Prayer is about moving toward Him in intimacy. And it's amazing that the God of the universe, who created all that we see, wants intimacy with us. So that was last week. So this week, I would say it's kind of some of the nitty-gritty, is that we're going to talk about what you promised. We're going to look at these passages in Scripture where we go, but you promise, and yet that is not what I'm experiencing. And then next week we'll be talking about living in the mysteries of prayer and a sovereign God. So our structure over time, we're going to have, it's similar to last week, we'll have time to reflect in Scripture. We'll have opportunity, there will be teaching, we'll have a video, we'll have group discussion. I mean, we're going to have a whole gamut. So lots of ways to engage one another this morning. And I am committed to getting you guys out at 11 a.m. And I was pretty good last week, huh? We'll do that. Okay, so we're going to start out with a scriptural reflection. And this week we're going to be in Luke 11. Your study guide probably says Luke 1, unless you got one that I printed yesterday. Luke 11, there it is again, on page 15. And we're going to just spend some time alone sitting with this passage. And this passage is part of, if you were in Matthew, it would be the Lord's Prayer. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount, which is about kingdom living. So that gives some context, but this is Luke's take on that. And then I have on page 16 some reflection questions. And again, those first two questions you'll have every week because I think they're just great questions for any passage of Scripture. Those were the understanding of the passage questions. On page 17 is reflection questions. So in these 15 minutes, you can sit with this passage. You can answer these questions. You can reflect a little bit. But I just want you to spend some time asking God to reveal Himself in this passage in Luke 11, 1 through 4 and 9 through 11. And I'm going to read it really fast. Is it clear what you guys are going to do? Yeah? Okay. And if you're new, is it clear? All right. Let me read this. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So let's just go and sit with this passage of Scripture. I can turn the fire pit on if you need it. I don't know, does anybody want the fire pit? It's okay if you do. Nope. Okay. And you can go into the sanctuary because there's nobody in there today. You can do whatever you need, and we'll be back in 15 minutes. So that will be 10 o'clock. All righty? Answered prayers in scripture. Just to, I have this thorn in my flesh and I pray to God and he does not take it away. And we can just guess that that thorn, whatever it was really significant to him. And he was pleading with God to remove it and God didn't. Clearly it's unanswered prayer. He goes on to say, but your grace is sufficient for me. And so there's a tidbit. So we see an unanswered prayer and we see the posture that comes out of that unanswered prayer. We have David who says in throughout Psalms, actually, where are you, God? How long will you forget me forever? Why aren't you answering? You know, these are throughout the Psalms. And he's basically saying, why are you silent? Why are you silent when I'm coming to you? Why am I not hearing from you? Why are you not moving in the ways that I'm asking you to and that I think you've actually promised to do? What's happening right now? So he's got this thing. But what is beautiful about David is he models to us how to deal with unanswered prayer. In verse 5, in the same passage, he goes on to say, but I will trust in your unfailing love. I will sing the Lord's praises, for he has been good to me. So we have to wrestle with, okay, here's another one who's experienced unanswered prayer. This is the movement that we're supposed to take in the midst of that, is toward this trust. And then the biggest one is Jesus. Jesus clearly experienced unanswered prayer. In Luke 22:42, he said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. He was begging God, if there's another way that I don't have to suffer, please, please do that. And then that prayer, again, unanswered in the way that we're talking about, where it wasn't answered in the way that was asked, is that he then goes on to die on the cross. Thank goodness he was raised. But on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's feeling the same things that we experience in the wrestling of, I cried out to you and now I'm feeling forsaken. So clearly scripture gives us the ability to struggle with it. It also shows us that God doesn't just say, ask anything and I will give it to you. So again, we're looking at things at the whole scripture to understand this. So the epitome of unanswered prayer came through Jesus's life. And God obviously had the most significant purpose for all of humanity through this unanswered prayer, right? Through this, his moving to have Jesus die and suffer for us. And it doesn't mean that it wasn't painful and awful. Jesus experienced all the pain. He experienced all the struggle. But what's interesting, it was the struggle and the pain that God used to work redemptively in humanity. And it's also through the struggle and pain that he uses to move redemptively in our lives too. So let's talk about some of the unanswered prayers that we might be experiencing or have experienced. So physical healing is a big one. There can be relational needs. I know people who are praying for a spouse and God hasn't answered that, or they have significant marital problems and it just continues to persist. Or there's people who are incredibly lonely and they just don't have friends. There's other answered prayers about financial needs, joblessness. Then loved ones coming to faith in Jesus. And it's like, God, how could you not answer that? That's a good thing. How could that not be what you would want to do? So we're going to get into a little bit of what we might be navigating with these things, right? Are there other things that I didn't mention in those four very broad categories that you guys would want to give me another broad category for? I said physical healing, relational needs, financial needs, someone to come to Jesus. Are there other things? It's okay if there aren't. I just want to make sure I'm not leaving anybody's unanswered prayer out.
spiritual needs,
I like that. So remove my doubt. I'm struggling here and I continue to doubt. That was good. There was another one that came up.
Emotional needs
that are met. And often those tie into some of these others, but they're very real. Okay. Are we good? So we've got these.
Your goals.
Career goals. So yeah, joblessness, career goals, financial. I'm with you. I'm still with you, Doreen. Thank you. Okay, so promises about prayer in scripture. I'm just going to kind of name a few that you guys might be thinking of that might be in your minds. It says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains into the sea. Okay, wow. A persistent neighbor. Just keep asking. Just keep asking, and I will do it. Like the persistent neighbor. Abide in me and ask what you want, and it will be done for you. Or the two that we had today in this passage, ask, seek, knock, and I'll do those things. And I will not give you a scorpion. I only give good gifts. Can you guys, are there any other promises that come to mind? There are others in scripture. So anybody else have others that have been on their mind? Pardon?
Parenthood?
Being able to conceive.
All things for good.
Yeah, he works all things for good. This is good. Okay, so I want to help us make sense, and I can't fully make sense, so we're starting there, right? So I want to try to help us make sense of these promises in light of our own experiences. And I'll be referencing a couple people that I've read, including Pete Gregg, who you watched a video of last week, John Piper, some other things. So I just want to say that up front. This isn't all Christina's thoughts. But unanswered prayer, again, we have to look at it in light of all of Scripture and in the whole of Scripture. So we seek to understand. It's not like we can go, why didn't you answer my prayer, God? Because I've seen you answer every single other prayer. We know that there are lots of prayers that have gone unanswered. So we need to look at this in the context of three things, I would say. And there may be many others, but these are the three we're going to look at today. The world God has designed, the will of God in us, and then the war that we're in. Okay, so these are three things we're going to look at today. And I'm going to start out with the world he designed. The world that God designed is one with order. We know that he established certain principles. There are scientific laws. There's nature. There's moral laws. He put all of these things in place, and we know it to be an amazing system. We reap the benefits of this system and this order every single day, right? And it works beautifully. And God, in a sense, has let nature as he has established it to take its course. We can expect the sun to rise. We can expect the moon to come. This is just part of nature taking its course. But we also know that the world is broken, and sin and evil have been allowed in this broken world. And the enemy is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy, it tells us. And the enemy is wanting to break that order. He's wanting to create chaos. He's wanting to make everything that was good and right not good and right. He's wanting to harm this order. Does that make sense? Okay, you with me? All right. So so we'll talk about that more. So we have this order that was created. We have an enemy that's seeking to create chaos. And then we have a world that is infinitely complicated, right? So infinitely complicated that we can't even wrap our minds around it. I'm just going to give you a picture. We're in a drought right now in California, right? You know this, that we're in a drought? and so we have people that are praying for rain. You've got farmers who are desperate for their crops to grow. You've got firefighters that are praying for rain so that the dryness doesn't lead to these massive fires again. We need it for power. We need it for wildlife. We need it for goods and services. There are people that integrally tied to these things that are actually praying, please bring rain, right? And then you have people that are praying that it doesn't rain, right? So you've got people, churches that are worshiping outside this last year where they're, please don't rain. We want to continue to be able to gather. Or you've got kids who want their outdoor sports. Or you've got a bride and groom that are going to get married. And they're praying that they don't have a soggy wedding day because they want to have a beautiful, lovely day, right? So all of these prayers are surrounding rain, right? And they're all different people praying for different things with different needs. The only one who can understand the complexity of that is God himself, right? We tend to look at it very self-focusedly. We don't look at it the infinite complications or the complexities of this world. The way I like to describe it is there's this massive tapestry, and we're on the backside, and we're one thread that's being woven through, but it's this tangled, knotted mess of so much. We don't see the tapestry yet. We won't see that until eternity, but God is making this gorgeous tapestry. but on this side, it's just a bunch of single threads being interwoven in a tangled, knotted mess. And we don't understand the complexities of that, and we can't even see the picture that's being created. So it's infinitely complicated. So this world is designed beautifully with such order, but it's been broken by sin, and then it's infinitely complicated. And then you have the will of God and us. And in John 14, 12 through 14, it says, I will do whatever you ask in my name. This is another one of the promises. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me anything in my name and I will do it. Okay. What is the condition here in this passage? There is a condition. I will do whatever you want. What is the condition? I heard a lot of different things, but the condition is so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's the condition. The will of God, His purpose in us, is that He will be glorified, and that all of our life is to be this spiritual worship. So then anything you ask that will bring glory to the Son will glorify Him. He's saying that will be the greatest glory for Him. I will do for you. You tracking? Okay. I don't always ask that so much, but I'm feeling that today. I'm just needing, I guess I'm needing to know you're with me. okay, so this says that then God has a heart. He has a will for us. He has a desire for us that has to do about with His glory. But then we need to, this goes back to the relational conversation we had last week, then we need to align our hearts with His. We need to be saying, this is why the relationship is so important, is we need to line up our desires with His desires. We need to line up our purpose with His purpose. The more we spend time with Him, the better we can understand His heart, and we can listen to that still small voice that is sharing with us what His will is. So that's why part of the relationship is so important, is we understand what He's wanting. When we're not tied to Him, how do we possibly know what He's longing for, right? And then there are other wills at play. So God's will, which can thwart any other will, He can in a moment thwart any other will, but by His grace, He has allowed others to have a will. So He's given us a will. So we're making choices that have an impact on these things. He's given other people a will. So there's our personal will, and then there's the will of others. We know that the person sitting next to us has a will too that's going to impact all of this. And then lastly, we have this disruptive enemy that God is actually allowed to have a will. And He can thwart it at any moment, but He's moving in this world with will. And so we have these different wills at play, but we can, through prayer, ask God to influence these other wills, right? So that's part of what we're doing, is asking them to move in that. His will is not necessarily without pain. And we know that because of the cross. We know that the pain that brought about our redemption was part of God's will, right? But what happened to Jesus was the brokenness of this world, it was the sin of this world being put on Him, but then being used redemptively. So He's using the pain to bring about redemptive work, right? But His will doesn't mean it will be without pain. And then we have this war we're in, okay? So we've got this created world that is beautiful, we've got the will of God and ours and others, and then we've got this war we're in. And part of that passage is that we read is, God, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. We are in a broken world, but we want your kingdom to reign here. There's an enemy at work, but we want you to reign. And we want God to bring His eternal kingdom to play on us now, if that makes sense. That the work that we're moving toward, He can begin to do in us now. So we're not fighting against God. In our unanswered prayer, we can often turn and it becomes a battle and a wrestle with God. And I think that that's appropriate in a lot of ways, because I've told you I do it all the time, so I hope it's appropriate. But we're fighting against the enemy. There's an enemy that is seeking to he's prowling around seeking to destroy, right? And so we are in a battle zone, and it tells us regularly that we need to put on the armor of God, and we need to be prepared for battle. And that's part of why we're praying. But it doesn't mean that we're not shielded from the damage of this war, which was what we were just talking about. It can be painful. But prayer, part of prayer is taking a stand in a battle, right? So I'm going to share with you a little bit of my own wrestling through these three things, okay? And if you weren't here last week, I shared that my greatest unanswered prayer was through the loss of my son. And he had been given a death sentence. And when I say that, the doctors had said that there was literally nothing they could do for him and that he was going to lose his life. And so then we began to beseech God, asking him to intervene and do a work that would be miraculous and bring healing to his body. So I'm going to share with you my wrestling through the promises of God and this. So when we were asking God to heal Judd, and I said this last week, we were literally asking him to do something in his system that would mean reworking his whole system because it was a genetic disease. And so every cell in his body would have had to be different in a sense. And so we were actually asking God to change his natural laws for the sake of our son. Okay, that's what a miracle is it's that we're asking him to do something that couldn't otherwise be done. But we were truly asking him to do that with every part of us and asking him to change the order of things in a sense. And we need to recognize when we're asking for something truly miraculous, that it will be the exception and not the norm. Because if it's the norm, then that means the whole laws and nature have been changed, right? So it has to be the exception. So we knew in praying for Judd that we were asking for a significant exception to what he has set in order, right? The will of God. So it was hard for me to imagine that the will of God could possibly mean the death of my son. And I will tell you that I don't think that is how I would describe it, okay? Because suffering and death are not of him. That is evil, right? And so when we're talking about this wrestling, we knew we were in a battle. We were so aware that we were in a battle because every day we saw evil playing out in our son's body. And it wasn't an evil that we could point to somebody else and say, oh, well, they did this. It was like, the only explanation was that there is sin and brokenness in this world and it's destroying our son's body, right? And so we knew we were in a battle and we knew it was spiritual. And so we began fighting with truth, fighting, asking God to intervene, take a stand for us. How could you not be glorified? How could you not be glorified by miraculously healing our son? How could it not be what you've just described here, right? So we just began to beseech him, and then you beseech him. And then in Psalm 103, it says he heals all our diseases. He is a God who heals us. And then I would think this would be about bringing your kingdom to earth. So all of our prayers were really stemming out of the things we've just talked about, right? And then we see in Scripture, God says, God is it is good. He answers everything with good. What does that mean? Because our son passed away. So, what does it mean that to trust in his goodness? And when a judge died, I remember thinking, how in the world could this be good? And I will tell you, I will never say it is good. I will say that that was evil, and that was brokenness, and that was sin. But what God is saying is he moves redemptively and works good in every situation. So then my heart became, I need you to help me find the good. Now, I will never tell you, I will never stand up and say, well, it's okay that my son passed away. I've seen God do X, Y, and Z. That is not something that will ever come out of my mouth. It will continue to be a struggle. But what I am saying is that I trust that there's something God is doing that is infinitely more complex and complicated than anything I can see or understand. Does that make sense? Okay, we're going to dive into that more. But before we do, I'm going to show you a video from John Piper, who's actually going to dive into the passage we were just reading about. Okay, so here's a video from John Piper.
Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, it will be opened. What do these promises mean? Do they mean everything you ask for, when you ask for it, the way you want it? Yeah. Well, your experience tells you, I suppose it doesn't mean that because that doesn't happen. That's not a good way to decide what texts mean. I don't think it means that. That's not my experience either. It doesn't mean that textually. It shouldn't mean that morally. And you wouldn't want it to mean that if you could. I don't know if you believe that. I'll take those one at a time. It shouldn't mean that, because if you could, at the word, make God do something, you'd be God. Wouldn't you? Everything I tell him to do, he does. You'd be God. If you can boss God, you're God. That's the first reason. It shouldn't mean that. Shouldn't. Because God is God, and he ought to be God, and therefore it's right for God to be God, right for you not to be God, and therefore woe is you if every prayer gets answered. Secondly, you wouldn't want it to mean that. I think I might write the Star article this week, if I can manage the creativity, about what happens to the man who the president finds out every one of his prayers gets answered. So you'd be shipped off to Washington immediately. Okay, now pray about Iraq. Pray this. And as soon as you pray that, somebody's going to shoot you dead. Or somebody else is going to tell you to pray this. Pray this for Somalia. No, not that. That's not going to work. Pray this. No, that won't work. Pray this for Indonesia. Pray this because that won't work. Somebody else, and tell you, you can make them say, excuse me, I wasn't designed to do this. Only God can run the world. I cannot run the world. Well, then you just better stop being so eager to be able to have all your prayers answered. So you wouldn't want it, I promise. You'd be crushed in a minute or assassinated as soon as somebody found out everything you asked for came true. You don't want that. Now here's that. All that's irrelevant because it's not in the text. I'm just telling you, biblically, that's you don't want to go there. But what does the text mean? That's the question. What does the text mean? So the reason I say, not only should it not mean that everything you ask for you get, and you wouldn't want it to mean that, but it doesn't mean that. That's my third and final observation. And the reason I say it is because it looks to me like Jesus is so carefully saying, now, if you, as a father, have a son who asks him for bread, would you give him a stone? Oh, you would give him a stone. If he asks for fish, egg, would you give him a serpent? Oh, you won't give him a serpent. Doesn't that beckon us to ask this? What if the kid asks for a serpent? I think it's unmistakably clear in this text that God would not give a child. Fathers, don't give poisonous snakes to three-year-olds. They don't do it no matter what the kid is crying for in the pet shop. Can I hold it? Can I hold the rattlesnake? It just makes such cute noise. I like his teeth. You just say, you don't understand. You don't understand. No. The answer is no, because I love you. And the instances of that could be multiplied. God does not give bad, hurtful. And I mean ultimately hurtful. This tries our faith to the limit, doesn't it? Because if you thought that what you're getting after you prayed for this is better, you wouldn't have prayed for that. You would have prayed for this. I asked for healing. I asked for a job. I asked for a fixed marriage. If I wanted this, I would ask for it. This is not what I wanted. This tries our faith to the limit. And my theology from every part of the Bible is God only gives what is good for his children to his children. Period. Painful as it has been. And I'm deeply, deeply thankful for the stability that brings into our lives and how many of you, having embraced that sovereign goodness and grace of God, have been enabled to weather some of the most horrific situations. I am so.
So I'm imagining there are some things that kicks up, and I want us to give some time. All of it should kick up a lot. Like, God only gives good gifts to his children, and yet so much of it doesn't feel good. Or how could asking God to heal Judd be asking for a scorpion? Like, there's so many things where this could be kicking up all sorts of things. So I'm going to give you guys some time to talk about it. So we're going to break into groups of 2, 3, 4, whatever works for you. 1, if you really want to be alone, that's okay. And I have some discussion questions there, but I really just want you guys to talk about what's this bringing up for you? What are your questions arising? And then we're going to come back together as a group and discuss it. Sound good? Yeah? Uh-huh. You guys are with me? All right. Go ahead and break into groups. 2, 3, 4, 1. All right. So I would love to hear from you guys a little bit. There was much here, and to be honest, as I stepped away, I was like, I felt like that felt a little crazy in my own head. So I'm not sure if that felt structured enough to you guys, but I'd love to hear what's arisen from this. And you know, he finished that video by saying, God only gives good gifts to his children. God only gives good gifts to his children. And that's bound to kick some things up just in and of itself. So I'd love to just hear, what were you guys talking about? What's stirring you? What are the things you feel like God's impressing upon your heart? Anything. Thank you, Ani. Okay, so what Ani said was, do I really want to be able to have God answer all my prayers? Do I want to be God in a sense? And then the tapestry, and if I'm just this one thread, I can't control. And you said so much, Ani. This is a problem. Maybe I'm going to have people. Would you guys have a problem speaking into the mic?
You would? Okay.
I saw lots of this. Okay. All right. I'm sorry because I'm just not great at repeating, but what you said was so good, Ani. So if you guys could really speak up so everybody else can hear you, that would help too. Yes, Shelley.
I hear you
there's so much here. You keep.
Sorry.
No, it's good, Shelley. So what she started out by saying is she really struggles with the way that evil can impact people who are really trying to seek the Lord, really trying to understand his heart, and then the wicked prosper. And then you also talked about mental health and just how it's hard to wrap your mind around this struggle and this asking, and yet there's still the struggle. Is that fair? Yeah. Okay. I want to try to do right by your question or your thoughts. And I'm not going to answer that, but I will say that that's the main problem of evil that you're talking about right there. But I think some of what we talked about today taps into that and would speak into that. And I want to, is there anything that's, can anybody want to jump in this conversation here? Yeah, Mary.
Well, I'm reading the last question. It says, how do you reconcile this promise that God gives only good gifts with the painful experience of unanswered prayer?
Which is basically what you're saying, Shelley, right?
So I was thinking about your situation. I don't think God did that to your son.
Amen. So did you just hear that? She said, I don't think God did that to your son.
Go on. I think it's part of the world we live in. There is some evil. There's the enemy. And that's, in my opinion, that's what happened to your son somehow. He was attacked by the enemy. And he did. So that's, I don't think that's a gift.
You know? No. And I feel like that's, I'm so glad you brought that up. That is such an important clarification to make. The things that happen to us that are evil, we are not asked to call them good. In fact, he says we're to say that hate what is evil and cling to what is good. And so when we see the brokenness in this world, when we experience the brokenness in the world, we are not supposed to call those good things. So then that's what begs the question. So then what is the good gift, right? And that's where the wrestling is. So if I trust that there is a good gift here, and yet everything that I've just experienced is a result of the sin and the brokenness. It goes back to what you're saying, but I keep asking, or you're not intervening, where is the good gift? That is the tension we're sitting in, and I want to hear from you guys about that. But I really appreciate you saying that, because I certainly, there's not a part of me that would ever say what happened to Jed was good. It was evil through and through, and it is a result of a broken world. And then that begs the question, but God only gives good gifts to his children. So what do you guys, I want to hear from you. Where do you sit in that tension? Steph?
Well, I'm going to get to that.
Oh.
No, I'm not going to talk long, but I loved your remark when you were talking about Christ praying that, you guys hear me, that God would take away this cup. And then he asked, why have you forsaken me on the cross? And I loved what you said, that this unanswered prayer, Jesus' unanswered prayer, God then worked redemptively for all of humanity. And realizing, I was listening to a Tim Keller sermon, his point was that if Jesus... No, but this was really profound for me, because I've struggled with this my entire life. We have a disabled brother that I was saying to my friends, his best day would not even be close to our worst day. Because it's just everything about his life is hard. Just is hard. So this is a tough one for me. But what I love is in God not answering Jesus' prayer on the cross, as you said, he worked redemptively through all of humanity. And Tim Keller, I was listening to him, if you ever have time, listen to his podcasts, said that what Christ did on the cross is he suffered the most hideous separation from his Father. He suffered hell for us, the most terrible evil for us, so that we would never not know what it was like to be without God. We would never suffer separation from God. So that's the good gift. That's what I'm learning. I pray for, you know, my kids to get a nice husband and a nice job and, you know, for good things to happen. But honestly, the gift God gives us, which Keller points to, is himself.
Yes. Yes. Great. Love it. Thank you, Steph. That is exactly it. And that's why we're going back to the relationship. The gift he gives is, he says that I will give you all good things for your growth in me. The good is about us being nearer to him, finding him. And what he's saying is, when you have me, you have the best gift, right? And what's happening is we're talking about, we experience pain, so then how could it be good, right? So if it's painful, how could it be good? But the reality is he's saying everything that happens in your life when you are mine, you can trust is moving you toward me. And I am the good gift. And as you continue to move toward me, you gain more of me. And what I can tell you in the loss of Jed, which is the most painful thing for me to say, and yet the truest thing to say, is as we cried out to God to heal our son, we found God in relationship. I would not be standing here right now if God didn't come near and show me himself in the midst of the crying out. If he didn't reveal himself, I gained more of him. Now, if I had a point in my life where I can say, and that's enough, I want it to be. I want it to be because I think that's what he wants for me, is to say, yes, gaining me is enough. But in my humanity, that's still part of the struggle. It's like, no, I really want my son here. But I can tell you that I have gained more of him in such profound ways that I would have never tasted of before outside of this. And I have also then thought, there are things that I am unaware of with Judd that I have no idea, if we're going back to that tapestry, how his thread, by God taking it, and this is painful to say even still, but I think he could have been protected from something far more heinous and awful. God's glory and in his son, I trust that he could be using God, Judd, in more ways through his suffering and death than he could have ever done with him living a life like you and I did. Now, is that painful? Yes, but it's true. So the reality is we have to wrestle with these actual things. Do we want him more than anything? Is that going to be a good gift to us? And if that doesn't feel like a good gift, then all of this is going to fall flat. Does that make sense? There, I said it again. I don't know. I feel like you guys don't think I'm making sense today. Is there anything else? Yes, Shelly.
When I go through really hard times, she's
saying that God is right here with her in the midst of her suffering, that he experienced suffering, he entered into our suffering instead of standing far off. He engaged our suffering. And she also, something you said that was so beautiful, Shelley, is you said that when you are struggling and you're wrestling, it's like you have a deeper understanding of your need for him, and that you there's more intimacy there in that, and that you're able to stand in that way rather than turn. So even in the pain, and again, we don't want the pain. We'll just acknowledge we don't want that. But even in the pain, he's doing a work to move us toward him. If we choose to turn to him. And again, that goes back to these things can also always trigger. They cause us to turn toward, or they cause us to turn away. And he's saying, come. Come and find me. That's the gift you can find. What else? Yeah, Stacia. Oh, she's coming up to the mic.
We can't hear up here, so.
Okay.
Okay, so when considering the specifics, like healing, what a good thing. Freedom from mental illness would be a good thing. However, the promise is all gifts God gives are good. It's not God gives all good gifts. So, like when we switch it around in our heads, we think, but those things are good. God should be giving them to us. But that's not the security that we have from what he's given us in Scripture. It's all gifts that God does give will be good, and they are good. But that doesn't mean that he's going to give us all of the good gifts.
And it says, in this world you will have struggle. In this world you will. But take heart, I have overcome. So we're living in the middle there of the struggle. In this world you will have struggle. Anything else that I'm missing? I feel like I've just unpacked, I've opened a can of worms more than we've actually tucked it back in, but that's okay. That's how this goes. Janet. Oh, you need the mic. It won't come to you, Janet.
I'm sorry. Oh, actually, you gave me a pretty long leash today. Thank you.
It's going to be very short.
But people want to see you, so can you come in front of the camera?
One thing I've learned is...
Sorry. Right there. There's Janet.
Okay. One thing I've learned in life, I do not know the difference between good news and bad news. A lot of things that I've thought were the worst news, God has brought good out of them.
Amen, Janet. Yeah, no, that's really bad. We got a lot happening here.
I forgot my cane today, too.
Look at you guys all looking out for one another. Yes, Kim. She's saying this brings up the proverbial question of the permissive will of God. And go on. Yeah. And I just want to say that none of what we're talking about is denying the pain. So I feel like it's really important to say that, because I think sometimes it can be like, well, God only gives good gifts, so I shouldn't be struggling. And that would just be false, right? That would just absolutely be false, because it's actually in the struggle that we can find him and we can gain more of him. So I just want to say that hope also does not minimize pain. Hope just acknowledges that there's something far greater going on that we have a trajectory that is so different than what this world is showing us, right? So hope does not minimize the pain. I feel like there's so many other things, but we're going to just close it out today. We're going to be talking about living in the mysteries, which kind of gets into some of the other things that have gone on here, and the sovereignty of God and all of that. If this has kicked up questions for you, where you're like, I actually am struggling with something pretty significantly after what we talked about, I'm always available, okay? So I would love to make myself available, and that could be through email, phone call, face-to-face, whatever, I'm available. All right, let me pray. Father, we just come to you with what we are, in all our questions, in all our struggle, in all our wanting to understand your heart. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is truly good, that everything about you is good, that the epitome of good is you. We thank you that you are a God who is faithful to your promises, that when you promise, you will do it. So at the same time, Lord, we come to you with our struggle of not fully understanding what that means as it gels with our own experience. And we bring that to you as our offering. And we just say, come and reveal to us where our hearts or minds are amiss, where you have misunderstood you, where we need to understand you more, where we need to have a better grasp of your heart for us. So Lord, this time, in a sense, is just for us to ask you to align our hearts with yours. Help us to understand you. Help us to know you. Help us to know what brings you the most glory. And help us to want that. Lord, we just acknowledge we can't do anything like this outside of the work of your Spirit. So please move. Give us the good gift of your Holy Spirit. We are asking, seeking, and knocking right here. Please give us that gift. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, you guys, enjoy the day.